If you want to hack machine learning, you're going to have to think like a machine learning researcher, and this is our process. So first, we start with data exploration. I won't get into too much of this for time, but basically we try and look through that whole data set. Generally impossible, because there's too many variables and observations, but we try and look at summary statistics, get a high-level understanding of what's there. We look at outliers, things like that. We go through and do a lot of data cleaning, as I mentioned before. This is an example. Did I skip? You guys, you did that loyalty card swap up stuff. Is there one of those here at Hope today where you don't want to be tracked, so you switch loyalty cards? Here's what happens when you do that. If your buying habits are significantly different from what appears normal, you look weird in the data set. If I was working on that problem, I throw your data out. So if you'd like to be anonymized, congratulations, the swap will do that. If you want to bias, we'll likely do that. If you want to bias my data set, it's probably not going to happen, because if you're an outlier, I want to throw you out of my data set. I actually might go look at you to specifically figure out why you're weird. Here's a fun story. I was, how do I make this simple and quick? Looking at the relationship at a company I was working at between the amount of users we had and what you'd expect by population in the corresponding counties. So I sorted by counties, that's why you see this increasing, and our numbers were sort of noisy around that. Makes sense, right? You wouldn't perfectly match, we're a little bit higher or lower in some places, but I noticed these two outliers. So I thought, what the heck is that? Why are we so, I know it's sort of upside down, but it meant we were overrepresentative in, one of these is Beverly Hills, one is Poughkeepsie, New York. I said, why on earth would we be different in Beverly Hills and Poughkeepsie? Until I found out that we got this county level data by aggregating zip code data. Beverly Hills, of course, having the famous zip code 90210, and Poughkeepsie being the area having the zip code 12345. So I removed those two studies from my analysis. They were not included, and I found my result, my model, without them. This is a more simplified version of that. Clearly, the data set here, the relationship between some X and some Y, is this linear fashion. If I include this data point, this is the model that a typical linear regression will find. I don't like that because it doesn't properly recommend the pattern I see in the data, so I remove this. So if you're too weird, you're going to get yourself thrown out. Maybe that's what you want, maybe it's not. Similar story with this type of plot. We worry about overfitting. If the black dots are the actual data, we would generally think that this is a linear system, that the relationship between X and Y is just standard sort of Y equals MX plus B type math. The reason we want to not overfit is because if we get a new data point, say something right in here, we want to predict the Y value from the new X, and it seems like this line is a better predictor than this line. Even though it has made no mistakes fitting this data, it's not going to generalize very well. So we worry about this sort of stuff. That's something to consider if you want to try and hack our models. I'm going to skip this one for time. And lastly, just return to the idea that we have an objective function. We're always trying to get some high-level accuracy, and there are compromises to be made along the way. So this is the way I'm thinking about a system I'm developing. If you want to outsmart me, you should probably think about it in the same way. So Bayesian poisoning that I mentioned earlier, the way in which you might try and attack a spam filter using a naive Bayes algorithm. So the word prince can appear in an email. If it's preceded by Nigerian prince, it seems like it might be spam. But aren't there actually Nigerian princes? That must be really hard for them to ever communicate with anybody. But also, you know, we recently lost a great artist named Prince, and it shouldn't necessarily be spam to write an email about that. So we look at this statistically with, this is Bayes' theorem, so the a priori, or the prior likelihood that something is spam, probably pretty low. The likelihood that it's spam, given that the word Prince appears, divided by the likelihood of the word Prince appearing, gives us this, which is what we want. That's the basic statistics behind the sort of old school way of doing this sort of filtering. Much more sophisticated techniques in place now. But Bayesian poisoning, we'd kind of just take the product of all those. This is essentially a watered down the naive Bayes algorithm. This is the idea of Bayesian poisoning. Take an otherwise good email, add in some garbage stuff to it that will make, if this is labeled as an email that's not spam, adding something that makes it look a little bit like spam makes it harder to detect using the frequency of these words in the future. Or similarly, this is something I considered spam. It was a snippet from an email I got that I didn't want, and this I appended a nice email I got from my nephew, which I definitely want, and I don't want labeled as spam. So if you were to append this and provide that as the data set, that's essentially, in a nutshell, Bayesian poisoning. So along these lines, real quick, I'm going to skip ahead because I'm running a little low on time. Let's talk about regression. So the basic idea is you have some data, some relationship you want to predict. What's the The x values, what's their relationship to the y values? That is a model, not a very good one. Why not? Because it has a large amount of error from the actual data I have available. This is a much better model, because when I look at the difference between what the model would predict and what I actually found is very small. This is the core idea of most machine learning. And this is how we express it mathematically. We go through each point, we sum over them, we say, what is it actually, minus what does our model predict? We want to find the values, the coefficients, that minimize this. So, just to be clear, the I is sort of like the ith prediction. Then this is the fancy way of saying find the coefficients that satisfy this the most, which is probably something like this. If you want to know how to do that, learn a little bit about machine learning, I can give you some pointers. Just trust that you could do that without brute forcing. It's actually pretty easy to do. Here's a more real-world data set. This is some data I had that looks at information about cars. So what's the relationship between horsepower and the weight of the car? It seems to have this linear relationship. And these are outliers I should have thrown out because there don't seem to be relevant that there'd be a zero horsepower car. I guess that's easy to build, but not exactly the relationship I'm trying to look for. I should have thrown those out. So they're biasing my model. Okay, so they bias it. Could I poison this data set if I could somehow contribute something? Well, sure. I added about 100 new points. The old relationship, this one, is these are the optimal values. When I add in all these green values, I get a new fit because I've poisoned it, and that I've changed the output. But to do that, I had to add an extra 100 points to put in that much of a skew. What if I added just 2 points, very high above? I still can skew it by only adding 2 new interesting data points to the data set. But of course, these are pretty extreme. A good machine learning researcher would have noticed and removed these probably, except that often we're working in very high dimensional space, not 2-dimensional space like this, so we could miss something. If we've missed something, there's a chance to exploit it. Same data here, some pretty extreme values. I gave you this model so you could see where they are. I trimmed them off because they'd be somewhere up, you know, in the sky. This is how much I can bias it. This is the correct model I'd like. This is the one I was able to generate by just adding in 2 fake points. Now, generally, this is not going to be a successful attack because there's such extreme outliers, I would have removed them. But also, there's a process called regularization, where more or less you add in some penalty that says not only do you want to minimize the residuals, the error here, but you also want to penalize for any values that are too extreme. And there's different types of regularization. One is called RIDGE, which says, bring me a model that uses the least number of parameters, tries to not rely on too many types of observations or types of variables. And another called LASSO, which says, try and make them not too extreme value. There are many types of regularizations, but these are the 2 probably most common ones. Most people are using these and they're in place. So even if we missed a situation like this, regularization might catch it. So machine learning people generally do a really good job. It's not going to be an easy thing to hack, but let's talk about a quick demo I put together that might include one. I made these short and simple because I knew I was going to run long. Hopefully they'll be interesting enough. I'm going to use the Jupyter Notebook, which is a great way to interact with code, and I'm going to use a site called Algorithmia. I like Algorithmia a lot. It's really cool. It's a place where anybody can upload an algorithm they've designed, a model, and then we can consume it. You can charge for it if you'd like, and it's kind of this sort of like models as a service. So if I come up with some cool thing and I want to share it with people, this is a great way to do it. So I'm not trying to pick on them or say their site's not good. I really like what they're up to, but I'm going to pick on one of their algorithms just to say, like, I hacked it here today. All right, so just some first loads. I'm going to grab my creds from my file. So here's an example. This is a sentiment analysis algorithm. Here are 3 inputs. I absolutely love the Hope Conference. It's the most fun I've had all in months. That we assume would be given a positive sentiment score. Radio Statler broadcast from the Hotel Pennsylvania doing Hope. Maybe neutral, sort of positive. I hate the government because they spy on my email. It's the worst. We assume that would have a negative sentiment, at least if this is a good sentiment algorithm. So I'm going to run those through the Algorithmia system, and now let's plot those scores. So here we have, I hate the government, it's the worst, as a very negative sentiment. Radio Statler, this statement, very neutral, which I agree with, and this very positive. So this is the objective of that algorithm, to take free text and tell you the sentiment of it. Seems to be working. All right, so 3 minutes, all right. So let's just see if we can break down and understand what exactly is going on. I would do that in this case by looking at some specific examples. So what do I get if I say I hate this?
-0.75. How about I like you? Seems like that should be positive. 0. Huh, weird. Seems like the algorithm could use some more training data. What if I have an expletive? Oh, it's positive. That's a little weird. All right. Hi, credit card provider. Here's something I'm complaining about. I run that. Negative. Okay, so my complaint is negative. Ah, so here's an interesting use case. What if I thought my credit card processor was going to prioritize my complaint based on how angry I was? Might I want to politely make it look more, because yeah, I'm a polite person, I don't want to just type the F word in there, but maybe make it seem like it's a higher sentiment if I think they're prioritizing. So let's just say I have my email there, which I think is fairly cordial, and then I say, I hate this at the end. I went from having a slightly negative to a very negative example. Okay, that makes sense. What if I now put on this expletive? Well, I went from slightly negative to actually slightly positive, suspiciously in the amount we saw earlier. So what happens if I take the difference of those two? I get exactly the score of the term alone. You see what's going on here? So it's thinking that this phrase, whether it's this word or the word you, is positive by this amount. My overall score for that email, when I include this word, minus the score when I don't, is equal to it. So it seems to me I figured out that this is looking in a very insensitive way to context. It's looking at just words. So I've just kind of reverse engineered how they're doing this. They're looking at individual words and I guess summing up their each score. So room for improvement on that algorithm, but that's what's cool about Algorithmia. I could follow up with the creator of that, maybe make a suggestion. If it's on GitHub, send a pull request, who knows? Getting back to it, since I got to wind up here, I'll skip my last example, but it's on GitHub if anyone wants to check it out. Sure. So this was going to be for my other example I had to skip. So just some quick reminders. If you've got direct access to a model, maybe you can reverse engineer. If you have partial access, you can try and, through trial and error, figure out something about the system like we did there. If you want to directly attack it, maybe you can introduce bias, especially if you add noise to the data set. Why, again, discriminatory, not the nice kind. Is going on. The machine learning community can definitely benefit from challenges. Same reasons why everybody hacks. I don't know how to do bug bounties with this stuff. I'd love to hear feedback. Hack responsibly. Don't do anything illegal. But I want to start a discussion on this. So that's me. If you want, check out my podcast. Also, if you're into these hex stickers that are showing up on laptops, I'd love to give you one for that. So thanks. This is my time.